We're going to talk about Ukraine right now and the crisis going on there. And we're going to get the perspective of somebody involved in the Eastern Europe mission. And our guest is Dirk Smith with a Bible program that gets the Word of God into these different nations, including Ukraine. And Dirk, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And first of all, let's get an overview of Eastern Europe mission and especially the distribution of the Word of God.
Yeah, Eastern European mission, as it used to be called. Now we just kind of go by EEM. This is our 61st year in existence. And we publish, print, and distribute Bibles and Bible-based materials into 32 different countries and in 23 different languages. So we are a publisher, as I tell people. We're kind of the wholesaler working with all the retailers out there. So if it's people that are doing evangelistic work, our only requirement is that this not be put in a drawer. These Bibles are handed to someone. It's not put on a shelf. It's not a pew Bible. These are evangelistic efforts that are going on. And last year we distributed a little over 1.5 million books. And this year, pre-war, breaking out in Ukraine, we're budgeting 1.9 million. And again, all free of charge to people who are doing evangelistic work and involved in spreading the gospel throughout these 32 different countries.
Now, when you say books, that would mean a whole Bible or a portion of the Bible. Maybe a book could include the New Testament, or is it maybe even just portions?
Yeah, we offer, of course, the Bible, and then we have a children's Bible, which is a collection of 100 stories that we actually wrote. It's animated and loved by parents and school systems all over our footprint. And then we have what we call our teen Bible that really is more like a preteen Bible. It's actual biblical text. It just has illustrations in it, and it is selected Bible stories. We also offer a book that we call A Newcomer's Guide to the Bible that was written specifically with Eastern Europeans in mind and just kind of walks them through what is this book? You know, what are these different books? When were they written? Where did they come from? So yeah, when we say books, but you know, over 89% of what we do are Bibles. So the others are very much ancillary and secondary to our Bible distribution.
All right, now we'll focus on Ukraine and what's happening there in just a moment. But first, how about just a quick comment about how the Bible makes a difference in a country? I mean, for example, did the Bible play any key role in the founding of America?
Yeah, well, that's a if people are rewriting history, they would say no. But if they're actually looking at true history, we have to say yes. All you have to do is read the Declaration of Independence, and you see Bible, you know, the Bible written all throughout that. So yeah, I mean, there's no question in our country, and we see it, even though there are people in this country that may denounce God or claim they're atheists, the fact that we care for one another and the way that we care for one another, that doesn't happen just by accident. That's God's teachings, and to care for each other, that's Jesus' teachings. And so we see it more in this country than really a lot of countries. And you know, in other countries that have Christian values, you see that because that's so much Jesus. I mean, that's Jesus's teaching. So, yeah, we can try and say that the Bible didn't have any effect on this country and the formation of this nation. But I think all the way through, if you really look at history, you look at the founding fathers, these were men that were definitely in the book.
Well, Oz Guinness even makes the point that the biblical concept of covenant gave rise to the U.S. Constitution. Okay, so now let's talk about Ukraine. It's my understanding that when the Soviet Union imploded in 1991, I was talking with a man who's done a lot of missionary-type work in Ukraine, frankly related to using classical music, sacred music, as a means and so forth. And he said when he first got there, in the early 1990s, he said you could see the people were desperate and they were depressed. He said you could even see it in their posture. But he said today, fast forward to today, there's so many, he used the word millions. He said there's millions of Christians in Ukraine, and it's an exciting thing to happen. Is God at work in Ukraine?
Oh, yeah. Jerry, it's, well, I'll tell you a quick story. So Ukraine started about eight or nine years ago now. They began asking us for Bibles for their public school. And so when we dug into that, we asked them, what do you mean for your public schools? Well, they began teaching an elective called Christian Ethics in their public schools. And it was hit or miss. I mean, what we would call states, they call oblasts. Okay, so in one oblast, they would do this, and it wasn't really anything that was done by the government. It never was done by the government. It was done by people who were passionate believers and authentic disciples of Jesus, and they knew that it would make a difference. Well, sure enough, as they began doing this, and it spread from one oblast to the next oblast, when Yanukovych was ousted and Poroshenko came in as the president of Ukraine, as he was trying to get his arms around this nation that he's now tasked with governing, he reached out to his different ministers. And when he talked with the Minister of Education and got a report from the Minister of Education, he noticed something in the report that he called the Minister of Education in to get explanation for. And he said, okay, I see in your report that in this oblast, we have test scores are up, discipline problems are down. And this is true in this oblast, in this oblast, in this oblast. But it's not true everywhere. Is there a common denominator behind this? And the Minister of Education said, well, yeah, that's where we're teaching the Bible, in the schools. Now, I don't think Poroshenko's a believer. I don't know. But he's pragmatic. And so he quickly said, well, boy, if that's what's doing it, we need to do that across the entire country. And that began a movement then that I don't think there's any coincidence that this war is happening, because Ukraine has been leading the way. At the end of last year, we've put Bibles over three-fourths of the public schools in the nation of Ukraine, and they have been teaching Christian ethics. They have been pushing God and wanting a biblical Christian worldview for that nation for a number of years, and pushing out any kind of corruption, working on getting rid of corruption as best they can. So this is very much a spiritual battle, and we need to recognize it that way. And we need to, honestly, we need to battle it spiritually, which is why we're asking people to pray fervently. And interestingly enough, as the refugees are pouring out of Ukraine and into Poland and Romania and Moldova and Hungary and Slovakia, the next thing after humanitarian aid needs that is being requested are Bibles in Russian and Ukrainian, because people didn't have one, or they didn't take it with them when they fled. And they want solid ground. They want hope. And that's only found in Jesus. Wow. So, yeah, it has grown, and other countries are watching them. We're doing this in Croatia, putting Bibles in their public schools, and in Romania, in Bulgaria. I mean, lots of surrounding nations are watching Ukraine in a very keen way.
So tell me more, and let's look at the other side of this. What's going on in Russia and with Putin, and, you know, what's the whole point? As I see it, you can almost sort of read into Putin's one statement that he made in 2005. I just looked this up this morning. He said in 2005 that the greatest catastrophe of the 20th century was the collapse of the Soviet Union. So in effect, he's trying to resurrect the Soviet Union and annex Ukraine, assuming that that's a part of Russia, or should be. And, you know, and by the way, historically, I didn't even realize this, but apparently Kiev gave birth to Moscow, you know, not the other way around, interestingly. But what's going on in Russia as far as the Bible? And talk more about this spiritual battle that's going on. And surely God will win in the end. But what's going on in the meantime?
Yeah, and of course, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Is what's the motivation? There are two people who know, and that's God and Putin. Because, you know, you can have 15 experts in the room, And all 15 of them, they're going to have an opinion, but they don't have a clue. I mean, they really don't. And I've heard every opinion under the sun as this thing has broken out, and we've gotten our people out of Ukraine safely. They've all gotten out and gotten to area countries. But, yeah, you know, the sad thing is we have dear people we love and care about in Russia, and they're good people. I was in St. Petersburg and Moscow and all points in between in 2019, and we were just welcomed open arm, you know, with open arms by the Russian people. And they're
knowing what you do, knowing what you do, that is distribute Bibles, and they welcome you. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're distributing in Russia. I mean, we have distribution points, and there are people who, I mean, our distribution has increased every year in Russia.
And by the way, we should back up and point out that your ministry was born in 1961, and in those days, you know, it was highly illegal to bring the Bible into these places. But go on. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, and we began as Bible smugglers until 89 when the wall came down. And then, of course, it opened up. It opened up, and it has just continued to grow. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy, and if we're not careful, it's honestly the lazy thing to do, and we see society do this. We'll see cultures say, oh, well, you know, Russians bad, Ukrainians good. And that's just, I'll just say it, that's ignorant. I mean, that's ignorant. That is not true. We know where the bad is. It's Putin. And there are people around him that may adhere to his ideology. But again, ideology in and of itself is just very lazy. You know, when we put people in a box and we don't get to know them, we don't understand who they are. Because I can tell you, I've visited countless ministries in Russia who are just doing incredible things, helping people. And we see, of course, we're going to be, the news is going to be blocked from us somewhat coming out of Russia now because Putin's going to try and control it. But there are anti-war protests all over the place. The oligarchs are getting out and getting their wealth out of the country. And so people are having a hard time signing off on what Putin is doing.
Putin may have bitten off more than he could chew. He probably thought there wouldn't be this kind of resistance, I imagine.
Yeah, I you know, who knows? Who knows what's in his mind? I'll tell you, the first speech I watched, and he just looked like a crazy man. He just really, of course, rewrote Ukrainian's history, and he's living in a false reality that he has created. But again, to your point, going back and trying to rebuild or you know, reestablish the USSR, which the Soviet Union, which that's, you know, if that's his goal, then NATO is going to have to sit up and pay attention, and there better be a mobilization of some forces to keep him out of Poland and Hungary and Romania and some of these nations that are surrounding Ukraine.
Okay, but, so we have about 30 seconds to wrap up. Is there a hunger for the Word of God, even in Russia itself, as well as Ukraine and that whole section of the world?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's our challenge right now is, you know, we're trying to print as fast as we can and get them into Poland. And, you know, if people want to help, we'd love their help. There's a lot of people doing humanitarian aid. We're doing that as well. And ours is dollar for dollar, going straight to humanitarian aid. We have a lot of connections. Obviously, when we've been in the area for 61 years, we know a lot of good, trusted organizations that are providing humanitarian aid in the surrounding nations.
Sure.
So
okay.
They can go to EEM. They can go to EEM.org /Ukraine aid and help that way.
All right.
Or
and
if they want to help.
Yeah, go ahead. Last sentence.
And if they want to help, you know, provide Bibles, same place, EEM.org, but just /BFK. We've got a campaign going right now to provide Bibles for kids, which is what the BFK stands for.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dirk. God bless you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.